Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. No need to be jerks today, baby. Let the victory parade begin. 102 in the DMV. Yeah. Strike up the band.
I love that.
Doc, you know this.
Well, that's like old times.
I mean, we get a couple of victories. We get a victory Monday night. We get the marching band cranking it out.
Yeah.
And then we get the DOC for three full hours.
Yeah.
How are you, sir?
I'm enlightened. You know, Monday nights for the elderly elderly are not ideal.
No. Nope.
And because you got to watch the game. You know, for guys like us, the fun doesn't really start until we get home and get to watch the game and get to do it the way we want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when it becomes enlightening as to how it really broke down. And you really savor the value of just how good this young man, number five,
yeah,
not only is, but has the potential to be.
Yeah. He's just scratching the surface.
Oh, this is 10%.
Yeah. So I don't know what your impression was after going. You were on the air until what, 1 a.m., right?
Yeah.
And you had an event with the team before.
Before,
so
yeah.
I don't know what you were able to see live and how you were able to process it.
I didn't necessarily see the game until...
You go back and watch it, right?
You're glancing, you see it up, and I see the big plays,
but
I can't
hard
see the backside block.
Right.
I needed
exactly.
to see the left tackle position with both guys. I'm so
proud
of
them. Well, Baby Bull played well.
I'm so proud of both of them.
I know.
I'm proud of the whole O-line
and
the tight ends and the backs because they give him a chance. He helps them. He's an enhancer.
Mm-hmm.
They're not garbage without him, but he turns them up so many different levels, and he takes them beyond where the average mortal can.
Yeah.
And based on what we've seen, this is like having the ugly duckling, and now you've got Prince Charles. It's just
Well, you truly are playing 11-on-11 with Jaden out there, right? With five out there, you're playing 11-on-11, and I don't care what anybody says. Mm. Of course, it helps the offense when he can scramble and move.
Yeah.
But I was having this conversation with what's his name, Lionel, on the way in. Baby Zion.
BTP?
Yeah.
Underscore.
The big time pain in the ass.
Well, no, his name was really like Longfellow.
Oh, yeah.
Longfellow Tidwid. He was so excited last night. And I'm watching him.
Yeah.
And he was screaming and hollering. And I thought, tomorrow should be the most impactful show in the history of your glory career.
Mm.
Because he spared me. Thank God he left. So we didn't have to tolerate
it. Right. I heard that he just left you hanging, right?
He did me a favor.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he did me a favor.
Gotcha.
But it just meant that we were able to get to adult entertainment programming earlier. and it was great, but it was such a rare, it was an intimate moment, as you well know, with our fan base.
Yeah.
It's an intimacy that we have for those that have struggled. We're like a 12-step group. We've been abused. Mm-hmm. We've been battered. And all of a sudden, I mean, I certainly didn't pick them to win the game. I hoped they'd win. But you have to be friends, family, mm-hmm. or under the influence to think that they're going to go down to Cincinnati, a team that's not off to the start they'd like to have,
mm-hmm.
and they get another beast back, and we can't cover a dead man, and now you're going to get two mm-hmm. All-Pros coming in there. You either had to be friends and family or suicidal.
Yeah, to think that they were going
to
win outright.
Win the game, yeah. Right. So I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
And then you start watching this thing, and I go, well, I'll be doggone. And then they come out and Burrow, boop. And I'm not saying still, this is going to be fine. You can't cover it. Nobody can.
Yeah.
I'm watching this thing. You said, you know what? We're not the bad news Bears. We're definitely not. And I'm not trying to mess with mm-hmm. you. But this ain't Ron's group. This is a whole different level of trained athletes that are coming out. And I go, we got a puncher's chance. And mm-hmm. all of a sudden, you know, boom, you got shot.
Yeah. I mean, it was a precision-like performance, yeah. quite honestly, from the Commanders' offense, not mm-hmm. from the Cincinnati offense. Even though the Cincinnati offense did plenty of good
yeah.
and plenty of things right and made the Washington defense at times look very, very bad.
Yeah.
It was not, and we'll get into this yeah. later on, it was not just a Jaden Daniels and an offensive party.
Oh, no, it was 11 heroes.
Well, not only that, but I mean, the defense, again, like, say whatever you want. They were not good, but they were good in a couple of spots that they had to be in the first half
yeah.
to turn potential touchdowns into field goals and yeah. even one missed field goal from Evan McPherson, who's normally very good, and missed one. So we'll get more into that and how that all happened. 38-33, the Commanders win. Doc, they improved to 2-1. They've already traveled to Arizona, where they will set up shop. They will be practicing at Arizona State University. That's not because they won last night or just something that was decided yesterday or a couple of days ago. This has been in the works for a couple of weeks. The whole operation is shifting out there, and this would have never happened, and it didn't happen. You remember, we were on a couple of those, like, late Monday night in Dallas,
4 or 5
road trips, get back,
yeah,
4 or 5 a.m., and then have to travel. Now, the difference would be, I don't think we ever traveled to the West Coast on the back end of a road Monday night or road Sunday they have to. Now, it's not the West Coast, but it is Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, it's pretty damn close to the West Coast. It's a long flight, and the team's already out there, and they're going to practice where? At Jaden's first football home. In college, at least, at Arizona State University before playing Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals in what amounts to be, hey, a return for Cliff Kingsbury to where he was the head coach for 4 years. And, man, let me tell you something. And that's where I wanted to start with you today, Doc. Mm-hmm. If Cliff Kingsbury puts on another show, if he puts on another masterpiece on Sunday in Arizona in his return to, again, his former NFL home and against who I derisively call Baby Kyler, who he feuded with, who he had major problems with.
Well, yeah, he was very young and very immature.
Yes, absolutely. But if he puts on another show,
but he's very talented.
Like, people are starting to go, oh, hey, Cliff Kingsbury can coach. Cliff Kingsbury can coach. Wow, maybe we should have hired him as an offensive coach. Cliff Kingsbury might not make it to the end of the year. Somebody might try and hire him as a head coach midway through the year if he continues to diagram and draw performances.
Night.
Yes. Well,
that was
but
impressive.
Even against the Giants, he was really, really, really good. They just didn't execute in the red zone.
He's had people open.
Oh,
and I'll
tell
you what, McCaffrey, if he were stock right now, that's who I'd buy.
Love that.
And reminds me of Trash Man, Nick Giaquino.
You mentioned that last week, right?
Always open.
Yeah.
Efficient.
Yeah.
Tough. Smart. Does everything you need. He's a football player. But he's also, you underestimate him and the band's playing because he's a baller. And he don't look the part. Soon as the game starts, He ain't nothing but that dude.
Doc, he was open a couple of times. I think we discussed
this.
He's been
open.
He was open a couple of times against the Giants. They missed him. And then last night on that first drive, right? You're down 7-0.
Yes.
It's about as bad of a start as you can get, right? I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is wide open, touchdown, easy. We'll discuss what happened on that play, all that, you know.
We'll get into all that. 10 out of 10 times.
But to answer back the way they did and – for Dan Quinn to say, you know what, we know we need points, obviously. We're facing a 4th-and-2 on the Cincinnati 32. They could have easily kicked a 49-yard field goal. And I see easily. I mean, that is pretty easy in today's game, right? And Austin Seibert had been 7-of-7.
He's unbelievable.
You know, last week. So you'd think, we can settle for 3. You know, take the points, what have you. Get on the board. Play it safe. Dan says, screw that. And the play was basically a diagonal cross from Luke McCaffrey left to right, where he's kind of going on an angle, like almost like a scissor type of path, if you will. But what I loved about that play, and I don't know if you were able to catch this on the replay or whatever, because it's hard to see unless you're really locked in on Luke McCaffrey's route, is he's open in the first window that he runs to, right off the snap and right off the line of scrimmage. And Jaden doesn't get it to him.
Right.
I think Jaden saw it, but for whatever reason, he didn't pull the trigger, which has been a little bit of a problem for Jaden.
Several times.
Okay, not only last night, but in the first 3 games. We'll get to that. Mm-hmm. But then the second window, Luke McCaffrey just keeps running on that diagonal, doesn't stop, doesn't slow down, doesn't get frustrated, doesn't run himself out of the play, doesn't get picked, doesn't whatever, and he's wide open for 30 yards and almost gets the touchdown inside the 2-yard line. I mean, first of all, the decision by Dan Quinn, the play call by Cliff Kingsbury, the design, I suppose, by Kingsbury. Obviously, Jaden, again, not feeling comfortable or not seeing it in the first window, but then staying with it and scanning the field, and Luke McCaffrey to not like get frustrated or give up or run himself out of the play, and then to turn up the jets and get another 20-ish yards after the catch, whatever it was, just big-time stuff. I mean, this is everything that we have not had in this offense since Kirk Cousins was here. And really, you know, you'd say 2015, but that's not fair. 2016, he threw for almost 5,000 yards with Pierre and Deshaun.
And Jay.
And Jay was banged up a little bit that year, but he was still, like, a contributor. Jamison Crowder as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, I would say with Gruden.
With Jay Gruden. I thought you were talking about Jordan.
No, Jay Gruden is a different
and
level.
And by the way,
person.
We'll have Jay at 3 o'clock, yeah, Jay Gruden, he, today at 3 o'clock.
And that would be a treat because for him to – and I was with Jordan Reed last night, and that's the last time I've really seen this level of offense to where we're in attack mode.
Yeah.
And when we got the ball, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And you don't know who the hell's going to slit your throat.
Mm-hmm.
This is a multi-tiered offense, still in so early development. This is the third game. We got a lot we can do better and get better at. But the O-line, and forgive me for taking this damn long to mention you, we got some nasty critters up front, and they're fighting, and they're only going to get better. Everybody's going to get better if they utilize this week. This is that pivotal week that you have to be adults. You're in Arizona, away from home. This is a mini camp, training camp extension. You can clean up some things. If they go in total focus mode, easy for me to say, you're on Sun Devil campus. You been there?
I have not, Doc.
Dude.
I mean, I've seen games, Sun obviously, City. When the Cardinals used to play there.
It's Georgetown on steroids.
Mm.
And I'm telling you, if they can lock down and be focused and really respect what the Cardinals are capable of doing to them, because they're just like playing the Bengals again.
Mm-hmm.
Lethal. Were your weakest, and that is air game.
Yeah,
with a
Marvin
monster
Harrison Jr. Sure.
At quarterback,
and Tyler,
he's better than Burrow.
Yeah.
In this, they're different. He's mobile freak.
Yeah,
if you think Jayton's smoke, wait till you see this.
Kyler's going to make you chase them. You know, he and remember what happened in week one.
with Baker.
When they were able to generate the pressure and get Baker on the move and flush Baker out.
Couldn't get him.
And they couldn't close the back door. And if you think Kyler Murray's not going to, you know, run away from that and spin all over the place and then stop on a dime
and
throw a rocket
as
you're, you know, I mean, we'll get to the Arizona stuff later. That's going to be a really, really tough game, even though everybody's sky high. Today, you know, is more about tonight. You mentioned the offensive line, right?
Yes.
So I just wanted to run this past you. Whatever you think about PFF is whatever you think about PFF.
That's all great. I mean, it's all good.
Yeah. I mean, obviously,
somebody's got to lead the blind.
Yeah. Trent Scott got a really high grade because he played one snap and he scored a touchdown, which we're going to get to. But from the regular offensive lineman, how about this? Andrew Wiley was the top graded offensive lineman for the Commanders. I didn't think he was tremendous, but I thought he was fine outside of one switch with, I always want to call him Brandon Scherff, and I don't know why, Sam Cosmi, who was on the show on Friday. Really good spot. If you miss Sam Cosmi, it's available on the team980.com or still on the Odyssey app. So Cornelius Lucas was number two. Wiley was number one. 78.2 out of 100 for Wiley. 72.1 out of Lucas on 29 snaps. About half and half pass block, run block. Sam Cosmi was number three, 71.3. Nick Allegretti was number four at 61.8, despite sealing the Austin Eckler touchdown and providing that lane, despite the fumble recovery. Allegretti comes in a little bit lower than I would have thought, but an 87.8 out of 100 pass blocking grade, okay, for Nick Allegretti, who's been really, 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 really
good. He's a
big really,
banger.
Really
I call
good.
Him a big banger, and, like Trey Johnson.
Yeah, and Brandon Coleman, outside of the one sack that he gave up to Trey Hendrickson, and he did give up a sack.
That was late, too.
It was, and Trey Hendrickson is a hell of a pass rusher. Outside of that, I thought, personally,
I didn't know he played.
I thought Brandon Coleman played pretty well, and yet he's the lowest graded offensive lineman on the Washington Commanders, having played 29 snaps, a 55.2 overall, and mid-50s on run and pass block. Now, listen, I'm not here to trumpet PFF as they know all, and they're perfect
better
and all
nothing.
That stuff. But that is a little surprising to me based on what I saw with my eyes and my feel. Maybe I'll, when I can slow everything down a little bit more, maybe I'll see more stuff that I didn't like. But I thought Brandon Coleman acquitted himself pretty well. And, of course, the rest of the offensive line. And how about the block by Biadasz on, I guess it was like the third attempt to rush in the touchdown of Robinson on the first drive after the penalty, after the one stop. Biadasz just blows apart somebody, and Robinson just waltzes right in like, you know.
Yeah, it was a seal.
Yeah.
But the Bengals are really good in their interior, and most good teams are strong within their interior. But I just am so proud of our tackles. Because the question mark was both right and left tackles.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not even a question right now. So for Trent, the consistency is what we questioned. Coach from New York, oh my God, they were a disaster. You're in the third game now, and your prize jewel, number five, is okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the pocket. I don't want him to get that blindside, perfect no-hitter ear hole. Everything he can see coming, he's going to be fine.
Yeah. Bobby Johnson has done a pretty good job. Now, I will say this. Remember how PFF grades. They don't grade just on sacks allowed or pressure allowed. They grade and they determine, okay, was that Jaden Daniels' fault or was that Andrew Wiley's fault or Brandon Coleman's
fault? And that's smart.
And what have you, right? Because
that's a good analytic.
I've learned throughout the years of covering this organization in various different, you know, when I was on the beat and you were on the sideline and you know, we worked together and traveled all over, you know how those offensive linemen felt privately. Now, they couldn't say a lot of things publicly, but how they felt privately. About the whole Robert deal when people would say, oh, it's the offensive line, You know, in this case, I think Jaden certainly has been responsible for some of the sacks. But, like, to keep him almost totally clean for the most part last night, I mean, he did take the hard lick on the Terry McLaurin touchdown. He did take another hard lick on a scramble to the right as he's kind of going down. But, hell, Jaden slid after faking out the Bengal defender and leaving him with his jock strap and his ankle.
Awesome.
I mean, there were so many good things that happened last night.
In game three, I might add.
In game three.
Let's keep that up out there.
To score 38 points on the road against a desperate team. Make no mistake about it. Everybody knows, Doc, when you go 0-3, and maybe it's a little bit different now that you play 17.
No, you're right.
When you go 0-3 and you're at home, man, there is a sense of urgency, and they got it. They got a good stiff punch to start, and you thought, oh, boy. And they countered right back immediately on that first drive. And then they never let their foot off the gas pedal. Mm-hmm. So much so that they scored on every drive, excluding kneel downs, in the last two games they haven't punted. Jaden obviously has an enormously high completion percentage. Mm-hmm. We'll give you all the superlatives as we come back. But the bottom line is, it was not just Jaden Daniels' coming out party. It was everyone's coming out party. But Jaden obviously is the creme de la creme right now and is the icing, if you will, on the cake, because it appears that the Washington Commanders finally have themselves a quarterback. Rick Doc Walker in studio. I see you guys building up on the phones at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. If you can't get through, it's at Rick Doc Walker on Twitter or X, on the X, as my guy Johnny D likes to call it down in Virginia Beach. At WrestleMania 621, at Mr. underscore me 93, the radio station at Team 980, if you want to fire off a tweet or an X post there. We will come back and talk about Terry McLaurin, and then we'll get to your calls, because Terry, hello! And what did the Commanders do that a loudmouth radio host has been just chomping at the bit and saying that they would do? Just saying that they would do, even though everybody thought they would just run the ball and throw short and throw horizontal. What happened? What happened? We'll tell you what happened next. All right, the Commanders win 38-33 last night in Cincinnati to improve to 2-1, off to Phoenix, or Glendale, Arizona, to be more specific. They go. Again, we'll tackle that a little bit later on. Just touched on it. The DOC in studio with us on this Gridiron Tuesday. Some might call it an AARP Tuesday, but I'll tell you this, Doc.
Some like who?
Yeah, well, you know. Those that shall remain nameless. Wins like last night, even though it was a late night for all of us, wins like last night make you feel a little bit young again. Puts a little pep in your step. Makes it a little bit easier to come into work, even when you're hauling ass and tired and all that stuff, and to get through the tape and all that stuff. And I will just say this, after a week plus of Terry McLaurin getting, I don't want to say his brains beat in, that's not fair. I think people were just questioning whether Terry McLaurin was a true number one wide receiver, whether he was truly a stud. And I still don't think Terry McLaurin is a true, like, dominant number one receiver in the mold of a Jamar Chase, in the mold of a Justin Jefferson, in the mold of a Stephon Diggs when he's on. I don't think he's that.
Well, but what did he show you last night?
But he doesn't have to be that.
That he's not.
Well, he showed me it last night.
Yeah.
But I don't get that every game, so now I
he
have to
get the ball every
well,
game.
I have to wonder whether that's, again, back to the original problem. Uh-huh. Has it solely been four different offensive systems?
Well, no,
right?
I'm not judging any of them clowns in the past. I'm saying this year alone, had the ball been launched, it ain't on him. He's there.
Well, Terry, in the Tampa game, if you remember, just torched a guy first series of the third quarter, and Jaden missed him. He was slightly open on another one early in that game, and it was thrown way too far out of bounds. But I didn't really blame either one on that. That was just a football thing.
Yeah.
But he was wide open and beat his coverage first series of the second half against Tampa, and Jaden overthrew him. Just like last night, Doc, if you remember, before the big first play where he runs basically a little, I don't know what route it is. I mean, it's as simple to call it a go route because it's, you know.
It don't matter.
Whatever it is, right, along the hashes. And he gets behind the defense and he catches one for 50 or 51 or whatever it was. Before that, they had another deep shot opportunity, and Terry was wide open. And Jaden was about to get hit.
Yeah.
And maybe did take a little bit of a hit. Again, ESPN did a terrible job of showing Jaden at the release point replays. But Jaden way overmills it. I mean, way overthrows. So Terry theoretically could have had two touchdowns last night, and he wound up with six targets, four catches, 100 yards, and the 27-yard brilliant touchdown. Great catch, great route, great throw, great everything, big spot, what have you. But he could have had two touchdowns, Doc, and theoretically, he could have had, 140 yards, 145 yards, somewhere in that range. I didn't do the exact math, but he could have had an even bigger day. So could Jaden have had even a bigger night if they would have been able to pull the string on that first deep shot miss going in. I think that was like late first quarter, maybe drive three, somewhere in that range. I thought all along that they had to take a deep shot. And I said, specifically Terry, but it could be somebody else. You mentioned McCaffrey, could be Diami, who's got great deep speed. I said deep post or go route just to send a message to the Bengals that we are not going to be a lateral offense, a horizontal. And they did it not right away. I would have preferred it to be a little bit earlier, but they had such a good first drive that they were mixing and matching and they didn't have to do it. But they did it early enough, Doc, where it sent a very loud message. Hey. We're not here to be an East and West type of offense. Yeah. We are here to be a northbound offense, baby.
Three games in, I got no qualms. We've left a lot on the table, and I think everybody knows it if you look at it. But a lot of people can say that. The bottom line to it is that they've exceeded my expectations, and you don't know what you're going to get because the powder puff preseason and nobody plays, and that's on them. They had the option, and they opted not to. And they've gotten away with it. And you've beaten people that I think only friends and family could honestly think that they thought they was going to win those games. But it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It's what they believe. And they believe in DQ to the point that they're able to work their butts off, go in there and not get discouraged. And I think they get along well enough because that's the key to it. I don't care what you're getting paid. When you start to really enjoy going to work and hanging out in the locker room and in meetings, it changes everything.
Yeah. Well, Terry McLaurin also said something interesting, just to finish for right now before the trending alert, and then we'll get out to your calls in just a couple of moments. Terry McLaurin also said something interesting, I thought, to Scott Van Pelt on ESPN after the game, right? He's like, hey, man, we had a great week of practice. Now, we've heard that before, and it's easy to say after you put up 38 points, but Terry ain't no BSer. Mm-mm. Terry is not going to, because he said, we had a great week of practice, and we won this game. He said, the week before, the win against the Giants, we didn't practice as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt like, the inference he made was certainly that caught up to them, even though they won. And we know they didn't operate in the red zone. They didn't execute in the little areas. And instead of scoring potentially 38 points last week against the Giants, they only scored 21 points. Today, or last night, they scored 38 points. Why? Because they executed inside the red zone, and they executed from just outside the red zone, and they hit a couple of big shots.
And let's not discount the fact that we haven't mentioned special teams enough.
Oh, yeah.
And Eckler, and those guys up front, and all across the board.
I agree.
That's the reason why they're in the position
they're in. I want to expand upon that when we come back, because that's an interesting point. You know I love special teams, and I agree with you. It had a huge impact. There's a couple more things that had a huge impact besides just Eckler on the kickoff return. We'll dive into that next and grab your calls at 301-230-0980. I see you all lined up, Rodney in Orlando, Dante and Frederick Bones. We'll get to you in just a couple of moments with the DOC on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so the Commanders are already in Phoenix after last night's big win in Cincinnati as they will prepare at Arizona State University Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday on a normal but short week out on the road for Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. Last night as well, in case you missed it, the Buffalo Bills absolutely drilled the Jacksonville Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence. All sorts of problems for the Jags, who dropped to 0-3. The Raiders are reportedly going to stick for now with Gardner Minshew as their starting quarterback. That despite Aiden O'Connell finishing up that game. Jerry Jones said today on our sister station, 105.3, in Dallas with Sean and RJ, that he is to blame or doesn't mind the blame, saying that's very fair when fans are upset at him for what he has built or not built, and especially when it comes to run defense and other areas as the owner and general manager of the Dallas Cowboys. And the Nats return pending the rain tonight to host the Kansas City Royals, who come in at 82-74. The Nats, of course, without C.J. Abrams after what happened over the weekend in Chicago and after a bad road trip, but the day off yesterday, hopefully recharge the batteries and get it going here in the final week of the season. That action, again, pending the rain, 6:45, 106.7 The Fan tonight and the Odyssey app. And that's what's trending. All right, so before we get to the phone calls, we got two things to clean up. One on Terry McLaurin, one on special teams. So Matt just sent this to me via NextGen Stats. I had combined this information with another tweet last night, but, you know, there's so much going on, social media, so much abuzz. So we just wanted to bring it to you to point it out. On the Terry McLaurin 27-yard touchdown catch, perfect throw, Jaden gets popped hard, man. Although ESPN does a terrible job in not showing it, you really had to be paying attention to see it and then, like, look at it from a all 22. I mean, he got popped hard. So on the 27-yard touchdown pass, great throw, great location, great over-the-shoulder, all that stuff. It was a completion probability, according to Next Gen Stats, of 10.3%, meaning that was the likelihood of the completion. They called it the most improbable touchdown of the season in terms of the NFL, and the most by a Commander or by any other name in the Next Gen Stats era, which is since 2016. So the most highly improbable, and they factor in, again, distance, throw, location, route, receiver, quarterback, the fact that he got smashed, so on and so forth. 10.3%. They said the pass, because of course it's halfway through the end zone, right? More towards the back of the end zone. And Jaden obviously drops and he's under pressure and has somebody steaming at him. They said the pass, even though it's just a 27-yard touchdown pass, covered 47.3 yards in the air, Doc. And McLaurin had less than a yard, 0.7 yards of separation from the corner.
I mean, it gets
when the pass arrived.
It gets even crazier than that, because when you pause it and look at where the positioning is at the moment where Jaden was hit and when the ball is released, Jaden is at the 37-yard line or so, and Terry's only at the 19-yard line.
Right.
Which means that he had to
figure out. So Terry closes on that.
He closed in. So Jaden had to figure out the time it would take for Terry to get the next 19 yards getting hit and still loft it so that it comes at the exact same time that Terry lined up at that point in the end zone. Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about insane. How do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good call, because I'm watching, you know, the you know how Next Gen Stats has the I don't know what you would call it, the diagram, right? I mean, Jaden's obviously in shotgun, and as you said, Matty, he drops back to about the 37-yard line. Now, I'm trying to match it up with what you're saying about when he throws the ball, like, to your point. Terry is like just inside the 20-yard line. Jaden just heaves it because he knows he's got one-on-one coverage with no safety help. So he knows he can throw it to a location, and either Terry is probably going to catch it and run after it, or in all likelihood, it's going to be incomplete. Now, it could be an interception if Jaden underthrows it and Terry doesn't fight back for it, but he also knows Terry's a badass when it comes to 50-50 balls and fighting for it. So, Doc, I mean, like, the big catch that Terry has early in the game and the big miss that they had early in the game, I think sets a tempo for everything. Again, they ran that first drive without it, so I'm not saying that it's – I shouldn't say it's everything. But I think when you start opening up the offense the way they did last night, and they have had deep shot opportunities or at least intermediate shot opportunities in the first two games before last night, but when you start being able to do this and show this, it makes it almost impossible – almost impossible until there's operator error to stop this offense or to hone in on it, because everybody came into last night thinking, oh, they're horizontal, east-west, they're short, ball control, get the ball out, run the ball, this, that, and the other thing. That's what they're going to do. That's their DNA. That's what they're going to do 98% of the time. And they showed something almost completely the opposite last night.
Well, that's what good systems do. They don't let you throw them into a category. They're whatever they need to be. Jaden is blessed because he doesn't have an egomaniac playing wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
The most intimidating thing for a young quarterback is a jackass wide receiver. He didn't have to deal with that. So his development and growth can take the natural course. Has he missed a few? Sure, everybody's going to do that. Has it cost him a relationship with his ace? Not at all. Because his ace was raised by two adults who didn't learn turn their kid into a demigod. They didn't worship their kid. They allowed their kid to develop properly so you don't get a jackass.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever you get that, you don't mess up the ecosystem. Terry's a godsend, and that's what captain is all about. If you put that C on the wrong jersey, if you anoint the wrong person, you end up in chaos. And the fact that your quarterback, you know how much we've made of the fact that the quarterback's the first guy in the building? I've never played on a championship team where that wasn't the case. The way it is.
Yeah.
The way it's designed to be.
But it's not always that way.
It never is.
Yeah.
It never is.
I mean, it is with...
No, it never is. It never is because it's just like being rich doesn't mean that you're smart. You know?
Right, but some quarterbacks have worked really hard. Whether
some
they're
have.
The first in the building
all
or not,
I
don't know.
Joe T was first.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Right.
He understood it. Now look at the pedigree. It's Notre Dame. It's LSU. It's winning. It's being one won the Heisman, one was second for that. But it's about being in that spotlight. I laugh at people when they start talking about, God, it's Monday night. You've never been to Baton Rouge at night.
Mm-hmm.
You've never been to the Death Valley and seen them play. That's nothing. He's laughing at that. 67,000 people. That's a scrimmage. Penn State has 80,000 at the blue-white game in the spring. So we understand that we've got a good thing going right now as long as DQ, and they won't blow it, as long as they don't allow them. Well, first of all, they haven't earned the right to be in a comfort zone, but don't let them get into that. And that's why this week, unchaperoned in Arizona at A-State, it is party that in Wisconsin. I mean, you need armed guards around them, but they really need to make sure this is a work trip. And then an opponent that I got to scare you into understanding they're dangerous.
Yeah.
They're really you. You're looking at your cousin. Nobody, do we take you seriously? Do we not? You got people that can beat you, but do you really believe it?
Yeah. The difference for me, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying, is Arizona's coming off a loss in which they played poorly at home to a very good Detroit team. So I think they're going to be really, I would assume they're really going to have their screws on tight this week. Whereas there's a natural tendency after a Monday night big coming out party to let your shoulders down just a little bit, so we will see.
That's right, let's get a jackass on your staff.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody to be screaming and hollering, yeah.
Interesting. I wonder who that jackass would be.
I don't know. But I'm just saying, you know, Bugle, our guys.
I mean, I guess Joe Witt, maybe?
Well, Witt. But see, Witt's bark right now, it ain't matching the bite.
I agree.
See, so people are starting to look around. Hey, Slim, that's why I said.
I agree.
Maybe you need to come out the booth and get on the sideline.
All right, let's get to Rodney in Orlando on the Odyssey app. Rodney, how are you, pal?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
Love the show.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, last night, just watching the game, you could tell on the sidelines, especially after Eckler scored that first touchdown of his, the bravado, the excitement from the team. Like, they actually felt like that they deserved to be there and they were actually going to win. And I know as fans, a lot of us probably didn't think we had an opportunity, but I love the fact that Dan Quinn and that coaching staff have got those guys mentally in every game thinking that, hey, we're going to go in and we're going to win. And that's the type of quarterback that we got with Jaden Daniels. And you've seen it now for 2 weeks straight, fourth quarter, you need a drive, you need to put points on the board. He goes out there and he executes. He gets first downs. He makes the right reads. He makes the right throw. The net pass to Terry McLaurin last night was absolutely perfect. You can't get it any better than that. So I'm excited to see where we are. I think we have an identity for this football team right now. And I love the fact that we are not starting out slow every game. This is just, once again, you know, second week in a row, the punter hasn't even hit the field.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited to see what opportunities that lay before us, guys. Thanks for taking
my
Rodney.
Call. Glad to hear from you, pal.
Bro.
As always, appreciate you listening in Orlando on the Odyssey app. Let's squeeze in one more here. Dontell and Frederick before the timeout, and then we'll get to Bones on the other side. What up, Dontell? How are you?
What's going on, Chris?
What's up, Deep?
Not a whole lot, man. I got so much I want to say, but I'm just going to drop the most important stuff right now. First of all, I wanted to bring up, I got two things because I want you guys to answer a question for me. I'm going to end with that, but I want to say something about Jaden Daniels. Now, I don't know if you remember, but I think Chien, I think he's blocked my number because I can never get into him now. But preseason, before the draft started, I made a comment, and each three of you guys, you, Chien and Hoffman, you were the lesser because you thought that I had some kind of clout with this one, but they completely thought I was crazy, and especially Hoffman. But I told you, Jaden Daniels is better than Caleb Williams, and I knew what would happen just by watching him. He's better than Caleb Williams. He's going to be better than Caleb Williams, and I can only imagine if the Bears would have drafted this kid. It would be something terrible. I wouldn't know what to do with myself. I knew he was better. My question for you guys that I'd like to hear y'all dissect is that we hired a defensive coach. And now you would think that would, you know, offense would be most of our worries because we think our defense would enhance and get mm-hmm. better. But vice versa. So what do you think about that? I have serious worries about this because our defense is horrific.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question, and here's how I would answer it. I don't know how Doc would answer it. Is just because you hire a defensive head coach doesn't immediately mean you walk right in and the defense is all of a sudden better. That's natural. A lot of times that happens. Sometimes it does not happen. I guess it depends on personnel and what have you. But the bottom line is, what has been most disappointing to me has been we knew there was shortcomings in the secondary and on the back end. Why haven't they been able to get more juice out of the pass rush? And why have Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne seemingly regressed? That would be the bigger concern to me.
Terribly. Terribly regressed.
Yeah,
I mean, these two guys, I don't know where they went.
Yeah. What do you think, Doc?
I think you have to realize that, first of all, you are your last place in your division.
Mm-hmm.
You have a mediocre roster.
That you're inheriting,
mm-hmm. Yeah. You were asking them to come out here and turn water into wine. And because we want them to be successful, mm-hmm. we tend to BS ourselves into thinking that that's possible. The wrongs, as rotten as the group was they just replaced, it could easily take you 2 years to make up for that.
Yeah.
Those tragic mistakes they made, the incompetency, picking the wrong players. Until they get rid of the bank robbers that are here, you're lucky you've won a game.
Yeah,
I'm shocked where they are right now. Pleasantly surprised, happy for them as all get out. Now the question is, now that people have locked in on you, see, this league is like a lot of people, they don't take you seriously.
Yeah.
Until you make them take you seriously.
Yeah, until you serve notice.
Now that people have said, okay, all right, these dudes might be a problem for us.
Yeah, no doubt.
So now, it always comes down to physicality.
Yeah.
Are we physical enough to control our own destiny? Now, they're showing us some glimmers of it,
mm-hmm.
but Eckler and we haven't even talked special teams enough. We got a chance to be solid in all three areas. My question is, I wasn't pleased with running up the gut. We got rejected way too much.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get back to that understanding that we control the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. Well, they haven't on that side of the ball.
There's no doubt.
There's a lot of issues that we'll get into.
We'll be all
right. Dontell, appreciate you as always. 301-230-0980. Take a quick timeout. We'll come on back and we'll get more of you in on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
All right, 155, Team 980, the DOC is in the house. More of your calls coming up. Let's squeeze in Bones here before the top of the hour. Bones, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Rooster? Shout out to my man, Matt.
Bones, you've been busy. Bones, you've been busy taking shots at me on Twitter, Bones.
You know, I always take shots at you, man.
I know.
You know, because you let them roll right off your shoulder, man.
I know.
You don't even trip. You're a New Yorker.
I'm the smartest guy in the world on Twitter, and you're taking shots at me.
You're a New Yorker. Hey, but check this out, man. Hey, Doc, man, you know this from experience, right? You know, and I guess Rooster should as well, right? You know, I know it from experience because I've been in sports all of my life, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm in the fourth quarter, man. I'm telling you, you can tell when a person is an athlete. This boy is a natural athlete, man, and then his personality and his character, man, he's very humble. He's not arrogant, you know what I mean? He's not trying to jump out there. He ain't on the sideline on the cell phone taking selfies and all this type of stuff, you know what I mean? He ain't sending out no quotes and all this type of stuff. The guy is into his craft and into the game, man, and I'm watching him interact with the players, man, out there in the huddle and stuff like that. He already possesses the leadership abilities and qualities, man. He's taking control of the huddle, calling the play, getting the play together. Man, this boy is a natural, man. I'm telling you, man, that offense, them tackles, that boy Brandon Coleman, oh, man, he a beast, man. Hey, that offensive line, they ain't had a holding yet. They haven't had a holding call yet. You know, oh, what we got to do for the defense? We got to pray for the secondary. Pray for the secondary. Pray for the linebackers. Pray for the front, the defensive line.
That's a lot,
man,
of praying.
And hopefully, man, that, man, we don't break. We can bend a little bit, but just don't break. Now, you understand? We had a defense like that once before. Remember, Doc?
Oh,
we had
yeah.
a defense that didn't break, but they bent a little bit.
Uh-huh.
That's all we got to do.
Pearl Harbor crew.
Got to keep state. Break. Mm-hmm. You understand? Hey, man, I love you guys, man. I appreciate you for taking my call and allowing me to talk.
Thank you, Bones.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. K-9 day. For life.
Just keep taking shots at me on X, Bones. Just keep taking shots. I love you. You and Paulie ganging up on me and trying to throw me around like a rag doll. All right, almost 158, Team 980. Some numbers from Jaden Daniels' unbelievable coming out party on Monday Night Football. Straight ahead, you won't want to miss them, and more of your calls. I see y'all, Sean, Double A, Cliff, Rudy. We'll get to all of you at 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand and the yummy way to start the school year.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.